Hello, hello fam. How are you doing? I hope you are well. How I am? I am not exactly sure how I am, but I think this episode is one of those hardest episodes I've ever had to make, because this is one of those episodes I'm going to, lay myself bare. Or how do we say, to be vulnerable? Something which, honestly speaking, I find it hard to do. I think it's something that I came with from childhood, just being vulnerable before people, and even not with everyone, with people close to you or with people that you cherish. Because of this constant feeling that they will not understand, or you feel that you are a burden to them. So you kind of limit how much of things you speak about or share. And so that's why actually this episode is titled In My Head. It's sort of, today I want to try and explain how things work in my head, because most of my existence happens in my head. And one thing about my mind is that it is the one place that is so amazing, but it is also the one place that is my worst of enemies. So, my head is the place where I will go to seek refuge when, things get tough. When you just need to have your thoughts, when you need solitude, when you need your alone time. But my head is also the same place that will keep feeding you constant doubt, fear, Like lately I've been suffering this, I think since last year, partly up to now. I used to see people get anxiety, like huge bouts of anxiety, and it didn't make sense to me. But I think for me, lately it's been so real. It's been so real. Like, I don't know, randomly I wake up anxious, and sometimes I don't even know the reason, but sometimes I do. I have always appeared as someone who's had his stuff all together figured out. And even my siblings keep teasing me that, I appear like someone, from the things that I have achieved so far that some of my peers have not achieved. They say you inspire us, you are someone who's focused, who's confident, who's daring. And I think since 2020, part of that has changed. I've started reevaluating some of the choices I've made and I've achieved, some that I gave up on. And actually, fun fact, or I don't know if it's a fun fact, as much as I loved writing growing up, I don't think it was a career I wanted to pursue majorly. It will be like complementary. But actually, the thing, my dream, I remember in high school when I was writing down my dreams, I was such a dreamer in high school. I wanted to be this huge, huge, worldwide actor. I wanted to finish up. And then I got this chance to join KU. I wanted to get done with KU. And then I wanted to move to New York Film School. And then I wanted to get to Hollywood. And I wanted to come back and set up the biggest studio. I wanted to set up, one of my dreams was to buy like hundreds of acres of estate and build movie studios there where people will come and shoot. Now that's in Kenya, of course, because, at the end of the day, you always have to come back home. So that was my dream for a long time. But as you move in life, especially if you've grown up in Africa and Kenya specifically, you know that sometimes you have to shift your dreams. And this is weird coming from someone whose book intro says dreams are beautiful because of the freedom they offer. So dream. For a long time, up to until recently, I was one of those people that believes that you can achieve anything that you set your mind to achieve. Anything that you set your mind to achieve, you can achieve. But I've gone slow on search because honestly speaking, my mind and myself, we have been talking and thinking about those dreams that I have given up on, and now turning back to survival mode, where now you have to look at things that will help you survive. Because if you look back home, things are not well. I know many people can relate because I have friends and I talk to them. Things are hard, especially financially. It is hard to explain how things are, but you have this baggage at home because everyone is striving to make it. Personally, my parents are not well-to-do people, but they have provided for us enough to be where we are today. And God has provided enough for us to be where we are now. But I wouldn't say that where we are is comfortable. So you have days when things are bad. For me, I think provision is one of those things that hurts me. You can't be there to provide for those you love, and even for yourself. I know of times I've had to share part of what I had with my loved ones and then go hungry. Those are sacrifices that we have to make to achieve some of these dreams. So first of all, I have to put a disclaimer that I am in no way downplaying the great, huge, amazing things that God has enabled me achieve so far. Just that at a personal level, as an artist, I know I have a long way to go. And I've actually been thinking lately, will I actually go back to my first dream? Will I make it to achieve those dreams, those crazy dreams that I had? And even in 2019, I was still dreaming. There are plans I had, man. But when 2020 came and things changed, now I stopped. I took a step back with those dreams. Especially 2020 when we were at home. I think one of those really defining moments that started giving me anxieties was when my mom was sick. This is the first time I'm sharing in a public platform. But my mom was so sick that one of the first times she got an attack, my auntie, who's a police woman, God bless her soul, she actually was the one, because that time there was curfew, she was the one who got us a police escort, and mom was able to be taken to the hospital. She literally could not breathe. And I remember we were in town, Homa Bay town, and they were up country, because we live in Homa Bay town, but we have our up country ancestral home. So dad calls us and tells us how things are going. They are praying, they're also calling for help. Mom can't breathe. And here we are, we've woken up in the middle of the night, confused, we don't know what to do. And my auntie comes through, she's taken to hospital. So we go to see her the next day. My uncle, the husband to my auntie, Uncle Jared, God bless you too. He gives us a ride from Homa Bay Town to the hospital, which is out of town a bit. So, because we could go in there all by ourselves. I think Atieno went in first. So, mom, Atieno is strong. I'll tell you about how she really took care of mom during that period. And then now, Rebekita and I went in to see her. And we got in when she was being given oxygen. She was, trying to breathe, that she can't breathe, and she's on the bed. She looks like she's going to. Oh my, oh my, oh my, this is so hard to talk about. That moment was, we were so close to losing mom. And I remember Rebekita broke down, and it found when I also wanted to break down, but because she was breaking down, I had to hold it. I think for a long time that moment really scared me. And honestly, in my heart, I knew we were losing mom. But God is good. That from that time, she got a bit better, but she stayed in hospital for months. And it was even more scary because her complications were related to her lungs. And there's also the scare of COVID. So every day we were waking up and I was looking forward to knowing, is mom okay? Did she make it through the night? And you know, Atieno was really so active. So I remember we were taking turns, but it was majorly Atieno and partly us, the rest of us. But I was mostly left with the home economics. So dad was there. Dad was still had to go to work. And then now we are here, all of us, and also Evarist, who is my friend from Burundi. I'm really glad he was there for us. Like, we just needed someone who was not within the family, but still a family member, because he was staying with us. He couldn't go to Burundi, so he was staying with us. Just having such a fresh face was also, he was an anchor for us during that time, you know, when mom was sick. So Atieno used to stay with her from evening to the next day morning. So somebody comes in, Atieno comes and changes and then goes with mom. It was really heartbreaking to see mom in such a state. And I think another defining moment was when she had that attack, and you know, we had to go and take her to hospital at night with dad again. And during this time, I remember, yeah, we tried to call a few people. And my friend Omosh Askofu, hey Omosh, God bless you, man. Omosh came through with this, you know, his car, and we took mom to hospital. And I think the most annoying thing with the hospital was the way the level, it's called level 4 district hospital, I think. The former Homa Bay district hospital. And we were there, and services were moved so slow. We wanted this, there were tablets that we needed, and it seems like we had to bribe first before we were given the medicine. And you know, this is a public hospital, so annoying. Don't worry, I've diverted, but this story is important to how, why things are the way they are today, and why I am full of anxiety and fears. So that night it ended up mom felt better, but I've never felt so helpless. Because I was like, if I had money, we wouldn't have needed to even come to this district hospital. I would have taken you to a private hospital. You know, I was just beating myself. Those are thoughts that I had in my head. But dad and I and Omosh stayed with us until she felt better. And then we rode back home and things were well. And I remember months after mom was sick, I think it took a toll on her for being in hospital for that long. And we had major fights as a family. We had huge fights. But I think it was necessary during that moment. Because I remember the last time we had a huge fight was a few days before my 25th birthday in 2020. And after that fight, we called for a meeting. And our family friend Jared Amadi, who's been instrumental in just, you know, mediate things in our family, he came in and we had a talk as a family. People laid bare how they felt. People, you know, talked about how they felt. And I think the transition to my 25th, but from my 25th to 26th year, was actually really good. So yeah, so that's how things were. So I think those events, and then, you know, the uncertainty of my schooling and everything. I remember I published my second book in 2020, but it was because I needed to find a sense of purpose. That's why I was doing some of these things. And you know, I think one of my motivations has been in doing all these things that I do is the constant fear of what if I don't make it. You know, that fear of what if I don't make it? What if I don't make my parents proud? What if I don't eventually break even? So I'm just glad that, you know, we went through that period and some of those things started working out. But I didn't get over the constant feeling of how fragile life was. Because I remember, as much as some things were working, some things were not working also. Like the business that my friends, the Dear Doves, some of you might know them, some of you might not, but I have friends called the Dear Dove. So I sold them and pitched this idea of starting a business in my hometown, a really nice, cool space that you can actually still rent and have events in there. But immediately I started the event, the business, COVID struck. It's so funny, like you've waited to start something for a long time, but then COVID comes in to spoil everything, and things went on lockdown, and invested so much in this business, and now I can't break it, because my plan was in 1 year, though it was too ideal, but I wanted to work so that in 1 year at least I will have brought in the return on investment. But COVID comes in 2020, end of 2020, things look up, and then again things go down, and then now in 2021 I had to come back to finish my studies in KU. And coming back to KU, you know, those who know my story, I took a break from KU for a while, so I had like 1 year to get done. So coming back to KU was a really good thing. Now that I've finished, I see it. But for a long time, I had fears. You know, I started school in 2014, and I was coming back to school with people who joined in 2018. So I had fears. Will things work out? Will I make it? Will I settle in well? But, you know, things really actually ended up working out. But I was so focused on finishing school that how do I explain this? I was so focused on that one task that had brought me to Nairobi that I kind of closed off on everything. And now the reality of my aging, because now I'm headed towards 30, and you know, I've not achieved some things and some things are not working out. Now that reality dawns on me. And then, boom, I lose another person. Now I lose my friend Sue Zeppi, my mama. And that has been the hardest thing, because I was grieving, I was sad, but I felt that I could not grieve more than her nuclear family, her daughter, her daughters, her son, their husband. I felt that her grandkids, I felt that I could not grieve more than them, because here I am, they've become family, they've become friends, but you know, I've not spent as many years with her as her close family members. So I just had to hold on to my grief and not express it as much as the close family members. But I remember I really grieved. I think aside from my people close to me that I have lost, I think Mama Sue really hit hard, because we spoke the last time, you know, she was in full support of me going back to school. She was there for me. You know, she'd made her family mine and mine hers. It was a really good relationship. The last time we'd hang out was in 2020 when they came to Kenya. We had a nice road trip from Nairobi to Homa Bay. And, you know, they met my family. They brought books for my library project. That was the last time I was ever going to hang out with her in person. And it's crazy. We would not have known that would be the last time we were going to be together. But I'm just glad we enjoyed and cherished it. And even when they were going into the hospital, she told me the husband, my good friend Renato, was sick, and she was taking care of him. And now all of a sudden, tables had turned. She was in the hospital. And Sandy and I used to speak a lot about, you know, looking forward to Mama Sue getting better. And a day before she passed, they got off some machines off her, because she seemingly was feeling better. And then I wake up, Sandy sends me a voice note and telling me that Mama Sue is no more. I didn't even know what to say. Man, explaining grief is hard. But after that, I was a wreck, man. I didn't know what to do. I was, how do we say, thousands of kilometers from Boston. And, you know, here I am. Yeah, but she was laid to rest, and I miss her every day, man. And, you know, she used to remind me a lot of my mom, because they used to share a lot of traits. When I used to stay with her in Boston, the way she'd wake me up in the morning, the way she'd, you know, treat me, it just reminded me exactly of my mom. And I used to tell her, you just exactly the same version of my mom, just that you're white, she's black. You might just be sisters in the long run. Yeah, but I really do miss her. And you know, I waited for her to see me finish school and graduate, but she did not live to see that. But I'm sure where she rests in heaven, she will see that I actually did make it. So I have a lot of fears. I have far gone diverted, but right now, as we speak and as I talk to you, I am a man with a lot of fears and a lot of anxieties. Not that I have never been out of campus before, but yeah, here I am. I'm done with campus. I think it's that constant feeling of having a purpose. You know, when you have a purpose, at least you have something you're doing, you're not fearful. But when you get done with that, when you get done and dusted, you're like, okay, I've achieved this. What next? You know, I think it is sad to constantly keep looking for purpose. It's like achieving goals and milestones. And, you know, as you keep on and wait for the next task, it's a sad way of existing. And I think for a long time, that has been my motivation. That constant feeling of saying, I have to change and be different from the background that I came from, and from the I've been running away from, you know, from the fear of poverty, the fear of lack of success, the fear of not making it. So I have the tendency of creating these purposes for myself. You know, in 2020 I needed a purpose, and I worked as hard as I could, and, you know, published that book. In 2021 I needed the same. If I was still in school, I still needed to publish this book. I still needed to do this thing. But, you know, when you come and sit down and think about it, life is more than that. And that brings me to the one person, the one thing that has been keeping me almost sane all this while, is God and faith. I think for a long time, God has been doing things in my life that I can't understand, because deep down, I totally feel undeserving, but God insists that I am deserving. I'm constantly running away from God, but He finds me and He affirms me. And I think my relationship with God has been, you know, so rocky. We have fought and I have run away so many times. I remember in 2017, when things were so hard at home, in my personal life, I'd come off a heartbreak, man. A lady I loved so much had broken up with me. And in 2018, I was a wreck. I was a total wreck, man. I was a wreck. Those who know this story quite well. God just brings things my way to affirm me. All of a sudden, when I'm giving up on even getting out of the house, God gives me a job in Naivasha, Liza Academy, where I'm needed to go and teach poetry. I take it up. I do these things, but in my heart, I'm still struggling. In the same period, God gives me a gig with the U.S. Embassy, which we make two amazing films that were competed in festivals around the world. All this time, still, I'm still, you know, doubting, fighting with God. And then, towards the end of the year, my friends Han and Steven Machata, God bless that family, Anna reaches out and tells me to join this volunteer organization. And I fought that thought for a long time. But I didn't even know that my destiny was connected to this organization. I did not want to join, honestly speaking. But it seems God used Anna and Steven to have me join this. Because I was, you know, Anna kept telling me, I know how gifted you are. I know the strengths that God has given you. You know, those things that people tell you and then you're like, yeah. because in your head you don't believe those things. People see things that you don't see. And sometimes you do amazing things because you feel your body is sort of your body and your mind is a conduit by which these things are done. But yourself, you know, you doubt yourself. I had really, really given up on a lot of things in 2018. And if Anna and Steven had not come in to, let me say, rescue me, I don't know where what turn my life will have taken. So many things are tied to that opportunity, and in that moment where I am today and things I have achieved are so totally tied to that moment. People have made relationships, are totally tied to that one single moment that God enabled. So yeah, I joined this organization, and a few months in, they are already telling me that's now turned to 2019. They want me to go to Uganda for a conference. Now, my Ugandan stories are in other episodes. You can go and listen to the previous episodes about my journeys to Uganda, all tied to one thing, my destiny. And they want me to come and speak about mental health and share my experience. So that's in 2019, January. So I go there, share. I went there not knowing, or actually those people, we had met virtually. So I knew I was just going. I went with my friend Churchill. Churchill was the only person I knew. So I went there knowing I'll just go and share, see how the conference is. One of those things you say is a conference, you go and you come back. But God had different plans for me. So I go there, and in being there, I start connecting with all these people. My peers and other people alike. My friend Sandy and Sue Zepi now, that was the moment I actually met them in person. And my very amazing Mom Leslie, I also met her there. It was the first time we were meeting. My brother, my Ugandan brothers, Dennis, Gift, Eric, Micah, I all met them in that place. You know, my friend Evariste from Burundi and Bella, everyone. I can't mention everyone, but I met all those people in that single moment. And even Carrie, who was now leading the youth wing of our organization at that time, she was also there. And you know, from just being a mere speaker, I ended up doing a lot more, you know, in connecting with people. I led sessions, I emceed our cultural event, I led games, I led team building sessions. And all this while, Carrie and Leslie are watching me and I don't know. And then we get done with the conference, we come back home, because now I'm done with the conference, I'm coming back home to chill, you know, just rest. A few days later, I get an email from them. They want me to step into the position of global leader. Yo guys, this is crazy. If you don't know what crazy, this is crazy. We just met a week conference. They have seen what I'm not seeing. They tell me they believe that my vision, that I am fit for this position, that I'm the one who needs it. And if I go back to my email, it took me a while to respond to that email. And I wanted to refuse to take up that position, because in my heart, I did not feel deserving at all. At all. I did not feel deserving. But again, I say this is God. He's the only reason why I ended up agreeing to take up that position. And I had a lot of fears, because here I am, new position, global position. You're in charge of people spiritually, socially, in every way. But within you are doubtful. Fast forward, with the same year 2019, I published my first book crazy, yeah, crazy, which did so well. And these people that I met through my organization, Peer Servants, they are the people up to date that I actually owe to the success of my book, publishing. You know, Sandy has become like my manager, logistics manager. Anyway, if you go to the Peer Servants office in Boston, they have stocked my books in that office. They are proud of me. They support me. People in there like are so supportive of me. Families that I cherish, I found. The families I stayed with there, the Bodays, the Leases, the Barons, all those families, you know, they have ended up being the people I owe my success to. So fast forward, around May, I receive another email. I have not got time to catch my breath, being given this whole new position, this new volunteer position. They tell me, sorry about that, they tell me they need me to go for an internship in Boston. Now again, this guy has no passport, has nothing. What are you telling me about coming to Boston to do my internship? They believe, you know, there's a leadership camp there for me. It doesn't end in Boston. We'll go to travel in Philippines. We'll go to travel in Singapore. I'll pitch and talk about peer teens in Singapore to other volunteers, potential volunteers. And all this time, I'm like, God, what are you trying to do, man? I'm not deserving of all this. Why are you doing this to me? But God is then saying, I made you worthy. So you're worthy of everything. You're worthy of my grace, my love. You're worthy of everything that is coming your way. So yeah, I go to Boston, those who know. And some of the most successful years of my life. Launched my book there. Coming from Boston, that's when I also launched my book in Kenya. Sold out everything. And, you know, started my business. Met the dear doves who, you know, helped me set up my business. They became my investors, and things actually did work out. So where does anxiety rise again in all this? I've just given you a glimpse of all those times that I thought I was unworthy, but God made me worthy. I think I've given too much thought to actually controlling how my future pans out. I have not entirely been of faith. I have mostly been of logic than of faith. Because those two things don't go hand in hand. Because logically, sometimes I am broke. Most times, actually. But all those great things I have done in my life, I have not spent a dime of my own. There's no logic there. How do you travel the world with no coin in your bank account? There's no logic in any of that at all. No logic, no logic. But there's faith. There's God. So for me, God has been there as a constant friend. And we've talked. Because for me to be born again, actually, my life had no meaning. And I looked in so many places, and the only place that I found meaning and purpose was in God. And for me, that's why God means a lot. Because even in 2021, I broke the hearts of many of my friends. Something that I will talk about soon, maybe sometime, that I did. That made me lose one of my closest friends, you know. And for a long time till recently, I was beating myself. And you know, because of that incident, I actually lost some friends. Some of my relationships have changed of how people treat me, you know. Which, to an extent, I feel I deserve. But it's also pathetic to know that people who are your friends now treat you differently. It's hurtful, but you know, such is life. Yeah, such moments make you feel like you're not worthy of it all. But that is logic. The faith side is, once God makes you worthy, you are worthy. And as I am saying this right now, in my head, it doesn't make sense. Because in the last month, Manze, I have been waking up with severe anxiety about the future, about my dreams, about my prospects, about the things I want to achieve, man. Man, I had dreams. I had dreams of conquering the world, not in a dictator kind of way. You know, I felt my destiny was tied beyond Kenya itself, like Africa, Europe, Americas, Asia, and the things I want to achieve, man. I had dreams of pursuing my master's and actually going to Harvard, doing my PhD, and, you know, doing diplomacy work between Africa and America. Man, I am sharing too much. I'm sharing about how my thought process usually is, man. I had dreams. And as we're speaking right now, I don't know if I do, because I have come back to the basic point of survival. And by survival, I mean, what will put a meal on my table? And you know, that's a sad kind of existence where you only do things to live through a day, and then another day comes. It's no longer about dreams or changing the world or changing the society. Man, I had dreams about my community. I wanted to build a postmodern library, schools, hospitals in my village back in Game, man. I have it drawn down and all written. By the way, I have all my dreams written down. I always write dreams in a whole book. But yo, man, I have given up on all that stuff, honestly speaking, and I am back to survival. But I am hoping not for long. I'm hoping to going back to being that dreamer I was. Man, and I was not only a dreamer, I was a dreamer, and I used to work towards it. Man, if I set my mind towards something, I was a crazy worker. In fact, my mom complained. There was a time, I think when I was working on my second book, I never used to sleep, because I also love working at night. I was compiling, editing, liaising with my friend Scholar, who was editing my book at the time. Compiling, editing, sleepless night. My third book, the same. Man, I miss such focus. Man, I've been reduced to survival. And now I live in fear. And fear and faith cannot exist together. I'm saying this to tell myself to. Yes, I want to go back to those dreams, man. I'm glad I'm going to graduate and make my mama proud. It means a lot to my mom, as it does to my dad, my family members, my friends. I'm glad that milestone I have achieved. And it's crazy. When I was coming back to school, I just wanted to get done with degree. I didn't care about the grades. I actually didn't know that my GPA, whatever I was going to get, man, I just wanted to get done with school when I was coming. After the first semester, my GPA shot up. And you know, people used to say, in KU, your GPA cannot go up. Nothing can happen with your GPA. Wherever it is, it remains there. But I was surprised. After the first semester, my GPA increased with a 3.95. Man, it's crazy. 3.95. That's my first semester. My second semester, my GPA increased with a 1.67. Man, it's crazy. Like, you don't see that in K. I don't know. Maybe it was a myth. Maybe GPAs increased, but mine was, man, God, you're doing what you usually do again. And then now I'm waiting for the final results before I graduate. But I'm sure, I know, because I was in that semester, that it's going to be still amazing. Anyways, I am fighting to get over the anxieties. I miss the me that I was not so long ago, man. Formidable, focused, strong. Man, I miss that me. And some of you might be there, that sometimes you feel like you lose yourself, man. You're not alone. For me, God has been the constant rock, as much as my family and friends have been too. And I know in my heart it doesn't make sense now, but I'm sure I will go back to those dreams and I will achieve those things that I have wanted to achieve. I will rise up from, you know, these anxieties of life and go past them. Yes, and I'm looking forward to the day when I'll come back here to tell you guys I achieved this, I made this, I actually arrived to the end. Yeah, I just want to make my mom proud, my family proud, my friends proud. Just want to live and love, man, make my community better, score those dreams. And I'm sure with God leading the way, I will. So in my head, where I exist, I hope God will steer the wheel, and those bad thoughts, those negative thoughts, those anxiety thoughts, that they will go away and actually be replaced with the thoughts that I usually had, man. I miss those days. I used to wake up with formidable force, man. Woo! Hey, those days. I miss those days. But I know I will get back to those days. So if you're out there and you also feel down, rise up. And if you know people who are down, encourage them, stand by them, and reassure them that it's going to be okay. So guys, I have laid bare part of my head. I have rambled, so let me just end the episode there. But yeah, till next time, guys. My plans for the podcast are still coming through, and I want to thank those who are already supporting my plea to, you know, set up the YouTube, both the audio and the visual podcast. My friend Devin Ferreira, who is an amazing artist, check him out, Devin Ferreira. I hope I'm pronouncing it well. He's chipped in. He sent in a contribution to support this podcast. And we are on a move to buy equipment. We're going to have cameras, lights. We're going to have condenser microphones. We're going to have mixers. And we're going to bring you the best content you've ever seen. This is already a move to come out of the, you know, we've gone back to dreaming. We are coming back with major content for you guys soon. So guys, keep tuned, keep getting tuned, and keep supporting. Sharing is caring. And those who want to send and become constant supporters monthly, yearly, there's a link there that you can actually become a supporter, or you can send it to me directly. Just let me know and we will get a way to connect. Otherwise, thank you. God bless you. It's going to be okay. And I can't wait to see you on the next episode. Bye-bye. Adios, muchachos and muchachas. Bye-bye.